Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome back to the Startup Addict, episode 13. And today we are going to be talking about faded brands, something Nick made up. And he's going to actually explain it because no one knows what it is.
Faded. There's a flaw in it too because everyone thinks it's faded, F-A-D-E-D.
Yeah.
But it's really F-A-T-E-D.
It's all in the enunciation.
Yeah.
Fated.
Fated.
Change it to Fat Ed.
Yeah,
Fat Ed brands.
Nice.
But
it's almost like you got to pronounce it with like a European accent.
Faded brands.
So what the is it?
What is faded brands? So always had a number of projects and companies. It's funny timing because friend Harry texted me yesterday and he said, "What the fuck is faded brands? You changed your company name more than anyone I've ever met." So I was like, okay.
It's easier to follow.
Yeah. So I always had the companies separate, right? So whatever project it was its own company. And then ran into the problem of, you know, just basic stuff. Like, okay, I was primarily at that point in the past using a Dethrone email address. So it was just at dethrone.com. And then we'd start working on, say, Jimga, for example. And then, you know, the emails are from dethrone.com and, you know, you're emailing people or reaching out or doing whatever. Naturally, they're probably going to look up what's dethrone.com. It just got confusing. So came up with Lucha Ventures. And that was the solution to that problem was everything would kind of be, well, all my email would just be Lucha Ventures. But there was no structure. It wasn't like anything was put under Lucha Ventures. It wasn't like there was any legal entity. I mean, there was an LLC for Lucha Ventures, but there was no like org chart that had like a or chart of accounts, whatever, that had all the different businesses under it. And Lucha Ventures, so Lucha Ventures still exists. It's still my primary email address. The way Lucha Ventures came about was I was thinking of like a luchador and, you know, a lot of the like things wrestlers. We were working on were, you know, well, Dethrone was a big one, and then kind of interested in fighting and all that stuff. So I thought, oh, Lucha will be cool. Lucha Ventures, and there was nothing out there, so we did it. And then my wife one day, a couple years into it, was like, why'd you name it Lucha Ventures anyway? I was like, I don't know, like, you know, like Lucha, like a fighter, I don't know, trying to be tough.
Yeah.
And she's like, but La Lucha is like the struggle. She's like, so you basically called it Struggling Ventures. I was like, well, shit.
Well, that sucks.
That's one way to look at it. But anyways, so I had all these different ideas and different companies that in my mind didn't intersect, didn't have anything in common. They were just, you know, here's a hodgepodge of ideas and they're all separate. And then at some point last year thought, okay, moving forward, there needs to be some kind of focus or some parameters we work within. So wanted to kind of reorganize all the LLCs and all the accounts and everything and put something at the top.
How many companies do you have separately, I guess, before you decided to put under faded brands?
I don't know. I mean, right now, well, the goal was to just put faded brands at the top. So that was the first thing. It came from watching Vikings, and Lagatha said, it was fated. I was like, that's cool. I'll fucking call a company that. And the idea would be anything under fated would be, you know, focused on the community. So I think our slogan is gathering the community. And it would also be focused on things which you can replicate all over the place. So you could start locally, usually in Burlingame. And if you hit on something, have something that which you could then drop into whatever cities and scale that way. Right now, I got to look at this chart to remember it all, but so there's some, so right now there's Nacheria, which is a restaurant, opened a couple years ago. serving, believe it or not, nachos.
Those hamburgers, but anyway.
Yeah. So Basecamp has a number of entities because there's Basecamp's corporate entity, which has a few people from the management team. I think probably, I don't know, like five or six people are actually in corporate. And then each gym, so there's five gyms, each gym has its own company beneath that. So total, under Basecamp, there's about, I think Basecamp has, I just asked this afternoon, there's about 110 employees. Nacheria's got about 25 employees. And then Dunk Contest, which is the basketball-inspired brand. We have a store in Burlingame and a store in LA. That has 10 employees. So those are the active, like, those are the employees that currently, I mean, the companies that currently have employees. And then Lucha Ventures has a few employees. Julio being one of them, and he doesn't know how many there are.
We don't know yet, though.
Yeah.
That coin flip yesterday.
Yeah, so the way it's structured, it really is that
a bottle cap flip.
Yeah, Lucha is has a handful of employees. It's basically Julio, Jim, and Aaron.
Is that it? Aaron isn't Dunk Contest?
No, Aaron was Dunk Contest, then she came to Lucha, and then Jenny was part-time in Lucha. But Lucha, eventually, though, that company will become faded and really probably sit at the top of that pyramid. And then underneath that, there's companies that are just getting started. So there's the coffee concept we're working on.
What's the name of that one?
Well, for now it's codenamed Surfcat.
Surfcat.
But AKA. It might shift. It might be Bunny Love.
Oh, I thought it was going to say Bunny Hole.
Bunny Hole. No. Okay. Bunny Love would be that. But anyways, you're...
Yep. You want to go down to the bunny hole?
We're all scooting backwards in our chairs right now. And then we have Speed Quarters. So Speed Quarters has its own LLC. And we'll probably soon have a couple of employees. Then we have a separate LLC set up for the High Stakes League, which is NHSL, which was originally going to be soccer. Well, probably will still be soccer, but it might have a Speed Quarters iteration before that. And then under some of the companies basically preparing for potential franchising, then there's a series of LLCs under there which just kind of organize the different business units that a franchisee in the future would integrate with. So it's kind of all over the place. There's also another LLC which for some of the concepts which holds the IP, and then there's a Faded Brands which holds the majority of the IP for any new random ideas or domains or trademarks and all that stuff. They're all self-started companies. There's not any investments. I guess technically made a small investment in Swansea City, which was a English soccer team, just got relegated from the Premier League down to the Championship. But that technically has its own LLC, which falls under there. But yeah, so there's a lot of companies. Overall, total, there's about 150 employees, which is kind of a trip, to be honest. I don't really know how many employees there are usually, and I'm like, wow, that sounds like a lot.
The number for Basecamp sounded pretty pretty large.
Yeah.
So how do you figure out between all the faded employees, do they interchange between all of them?
Some. So it's a challenge, and it's but right now... you know, Jim, Julio, and Aaron, to some extent, work on all the companies. Uh-huh. So the idea is that Faded should be able to provide value, whether it's like design and marketing or operationally or HR or legal, all that stuff. It should all be in one place, so we're not duplicating things all over the place. The reality is a lot of the companies, they wouldn't need a full-time person in each position. Ideally, in the future, they kind of become more closer to Basecamp, where they've gotten to the point where there's some management team and at the corporate level, and then at the individual location level, there's a management team and a staff and all that. But it's, you know, it wouldn't be cost effective to sit there and try to, before it needed it, build a full team for each company.
So is Faded Brands, how is that filed? Like, is it an LLC or?
So Faded's an LLC. Faded's an LLC, and it's the, and then we just finished restructuring everything. So Faded's the LLC, and it owns the other companies. Before, they were kind of all just like, oh, here's an LLC that I'm the owner of, or here's an LLC that I'm the owner of, and now it's all, we've got it all kind of organized under Faded. Wonderful. Although I do have, I'm not very good at email, so I have a lot of stuff in the email where there's still some things I have to go back, I have to finish.
He's remembering to do all this now.
But in theory, you know, you get the every couple of weeks. Like,
so in theory, Faded has bought all these companies. In a sense, you bought them from yourself, and then that's how you were able to set up that.
No, not bought, just transfer. Because it's because, you know, it's more just like shifting around. Because it's not, it's the same, you know, same person most of the time. So it, so that was, it wasn't even totally necessary. It just felt like this is the right thing to do moving forward, to have everything a little cleaner. But it's, you know, it's a challenge having all, I mean, not a challenge, like not a challenge in a good way, having all the different projects. There's days where it feels overwhelming, and there's days, I was talking to someone earlier today saying like this week's been super exciting. Like, right. There's like, there's kind of like big things going on with multiple companies. And, so that's exciting. But as far as, yeah, I think it depends. It depends on the person and it depends on the project. If someone should focus on one thing, right? The internal debate is, do you have a people at the Faded level that help with everything? And so they know a little bit about everything and they fill in the gaps wherever each of those companies need, or would it be better to have, you know, start developing each person developing an expertise in a certain area and like having time to, because with so many projects, there's always little things to do. So you could spend all day working on things,
yeah.
But then that doesn't, A, it doesn't force you to really sit down and follow through with the hard things, because you can always be, well, you know what, I'll get back to that later because there's a million other things to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't give you time to just learn and think. So that's one of the challenges, is like, we need to, when we bring people in, we need to give them an opportunity to develop a skill set and learn. And especially, you know, someone coming in right out of school, you know, I think it'd be valuable for them and us if we kind of found out what are they interested in, and then tried to figure out, is there enough between these projects for you to focus on that? And hopefully there is, and then give them a little bit of freedom to learn and learn and learn, so people can grow into roles instead of, you know, having to, instead of hiring people in from the outside. Historically, whether it was Zappos or Basecamp or Nacheria, the majority of people have kind of been developed from within. I mean, Basecamp's brought some, obviously some people in the management level in from other companies. That's been great to have their experience. But a lot of, you know, generally it's been come in, start working, and then, you know, we'll train you on different things and you'll eventually be ready to take on a bigger role.
Yeah.
Nacheria, we took the first route of hiring people from the outside, experienced people, and it was a disaster for like a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
And then we got Jose in there, and just young and energetic, enthusiastic, and curious, and that, you know, that worked well. So,
so for all the employees, you hope that they grow into bigger positions, or grow into what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance, because you want every employee to feel like it's the company can grow. They can grow with a company. The company can grow with them. There's always going to be opportunity. And then at the same time, you want people to, you know, get focus on what they need to do right now and become really good at it, versus spending too much time worrying about other things. I mean, it's the same as at Zappos when the main reason we moved to Las Vegas from San Francisco was because everyone would come in, they'd apply for customer service, and then they'd swear in the interview that they love customer service and that's all they wanted to do. And then, you know, the second or third day on the job, they'd be like, so how do you get into marketing? It's like, what the hell? We're going to train you for like 2 months on customer service and invest a lot of time and energy, and you don't even really want to be in customer service. So then we found in Vegas there was more of a customer service workforce that was, you know, passionate about that, and saw, you know, that as a career opportunity and career path. And they'd seen bigger customer service organizations, so they knew it wasn't just like a customer service department where there was no chance to move up within that department.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an environment, I think, where people, there's a lot of opportunity and there's not a ton of training. I think Basecamp has a good, but like, you know, by and large, we're looking for someone who can have that combination of us training and putting in position, but a lot of it, like taking the initiative and asking, like, can I do more? You know, could I make this better?
Yeah.
In Austria, we had a cook that came in, and he was Yvonne, and he was just, you know, we'd hired a bunch of cooks. He came in one day, and I went in, and they're like, hey, he wants you to try this. I'm like, who does? New cook, Yvonne. So, all right, we'll try it. This is pretty good. But what does this have to do with Nacho? Like, we don't sell this.
Yeah.
So, hey, I just wanted to show you this new item he can make. I was like, well, that's great. And it is really good. Why don't you ask him to take a stab at the items we already sell or the meats or whatever it is that we already sell and see which one of those he can improve. So yeah. Then he just went through. He just started every day. I'd go in there. They'd be like, hey, he wants you to try this chicken, or hey, he wants you to try this steak, or hey, he wants you to try this whatever it is, like dish. And then each time he did it, it was, yeah, well, this is better than what we had.
Yeah.
You know, this is great. Tell him to keep fucking going. You know, and eventually he became the head chef. Like we parted ways with our prior chef, and the same way that Jose came in as the assistant manager and kind of figured out everything that a manager really should be doing, realized that the manager wasn't doing it, didn't sit there and bitch about the fact that his manager not doing this, why should I do it? He was just like, saw opportunity and was like, huh, and was curious. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure that out. And then ultimately it became clear, dude, you're figuring out all the shit that the manager's supposed to figure out. We don't need the manager. We've got enough of those managers. You should be the manager. Okay, great. And then same with the cook. You know, we had a bunch of cooks that have come in and out. But there was, you know, for whatever reason, Yvonne took it on himself to be like, in a, he found the right balance of saying, like, I can make this better than you guys are doing it without doing it in a way that was, like, combative or offensive. He just, yeah. So, hey, try this. I know you're going to fucking like it.
Your tacos suck, but.
Yeah. So it was interesting. And that's why I like the fact that, you know, the guys running Nacheria are guys that just came in and just figured out a better way to do it. So, you know, but there's, you know, I'm not the best at explaining things or listening sometimes, or, you know, I'm someone where sometimes I have a clear vision in my head, but I can't get it onto paper or out of my mouth. And that's frustrating. And then I get frustrated when people don't understand what I'm talking about, when I'm aware of the fact that I'm not conveying the message clearly, but it's just the whole thing's frustrating, right? So it's like, well, that can be hard. And so a lot of times in that case, I can become the bottleneck. But even last week, there was speed quarters, right? We were working on speed quarters, and we've been saying we're working on it, but we haven't, everyone was kind of waiting for me to say, like, here's when we need to have the first event, and here's when we need to do this and this. And I think it became clear to people that probably wasn't going to happen anytime soon. So, you know, it was like Julio, Jim, and Aaron, and Jenny got together, and they just kind of started, well, yeah, Nick's never going to fucking get around to this. Let's just do this. Let's just get it going. And so we had a meeting. I'm like, what are we meeting about? I want to meet about speed quarters. I haven't had time to think about speed quarters. I haven't done this. I haven't done that, you know? So I was probably, you know, here I am a little delusional. Like, I'm the only one that can figure this shit out. And then, so we started meeting. And at first I was like, I know that I'm not understanding it. But I'm kind of like, oh, you guys don't even understand exactly what it is, and blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting here talking about the rules. Like, if we don't even know the rules, how are we supposed to, you know, how you guys get? And then, so I was kind of like, not like as open to the conversation as I normally would be or should be. And then I thought, oh, that's just ridiculous. You know, you can't drive this process without, like, I'm the only one that's been to a tournament. Like, I gotta explain this to you guys. I'll do it when I do it. And everyone kind of was like, okay, what a dick, you know, okay, we'll say that. But, you know, probably like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then Now, but let's not listen to him, right? So let's just keep plugging away. Okay, let's have another meeting, and then we'll get more stuff together. And then it was a weird one, because then I was like, all right, fine, we can talk about it again. But then all of a sudden it was like, okay, yep, you guys kind of planned everything out, and it was like, wow, this is actually, we got a schedule. We should be having a first event next month, and we'll have a website, and we'll have videos, and we'll have all this stuff. And it's kind of like, despite me, all that's going to happen, right? Yeah. So I looked at that, I was like, okay, that was cool.
Don't ever do it again.
Yeah, no. No, I was like, that's cool, right? Like, it's the same way, like, you know, if people figure out, like, all right, well, how can we work within the parameters we've been given, within the different personalities, and we can't let any one person be the roadblock. Or in this case, I think they were kind of like, he's the only one that doesn't know that he needs this help right now, so yeah, we'll just provide it, right? So I thought, okay, that was cool. That was, if it was me in the reverse role, I might have been like, fuck, I'm not doing anything for that. The guy was kind of a dick in the meeting, and like, yeah, he thinks he's the only one that can do it. Okay, you do it all.
All right, Mr. Speed Quarters.
Yeah.
Ooh. Speed Quarters founder.
So that worked out good. And so I was excited about that process, you know. Still don't really like meetings, but I was excited about that process.
So that's pretty much what you look for when you hire people. You just want them to just take the initiative and just, even yeah, though sometimes
I don't even think he looks for that. I think it's just a matter of when you arrive to work for Nick, you have to. It's got to be in you to do it. If not, you're probably going to sink super super fast, because then yeah, you'll be like,
What do I do?
And I think we've had examples of people who've like, enthusiastic about the energy in the place, and they hear about all these projects and they're like wide-eyed and they're like, oh yeah, absolutely. And then they sit down on their first day kind of expecting a traditional orientation or training, or like, oh, here's your list of things to do. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. And then once people figure that out, it's kind of a sink or swim situation.
Yeah,
super super fast. And there's no really way of, like he was saying right now, there's no real way for him to explain exactly what that characteristic is. So as you're going to interview process, you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. You almost got to sit in the chair and within the office and kind of feel your way around it and see if you are a right fit, and not just kind of just sit there at the computer all the time and just do nothing.
Yeah, because we had, and it's hard because I'm aware of the fact that, I can tell when someone wants more
direction,
information out of me,
yeah,
or not even want direction, because I think, you know, whether it's Jim or Julio or anyone, like there's people providing direction. It's more just they want some kind of like validation or like that I'm
that's
they're
it
doing
is.
It right. And they just want yeah, me to nod and be like, good job. But that doesn't always happen. Like sometimes I'm just like, I'm not good at like, which we're trying to get better at. Same way we talked last time about like identifying like, what are we going to be judged on later?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be better at that. Like just be like, give some constructive feedback or explain to them, here's what you're going to need some guidance on. Here's what you're not going to get any guidance on. Oh, sorry. But on the podcast, it sounded like I was crying, but I was really just...
Yeah, if you watch it on YouTube, you can see he wasn't.
I saw him quivering.
YouTube.com, yeah, search the Startup Addict.
Try not to burp. But, yeah, so it's a weird one for me where my personality flaw is that. Like, I'm aware of something. I should fucking fix it. But, you know, it's the same thing. It's like walking your desk every day and be like, I should clean this up. I'm going to do that. I'm going to clean it up in a minute tomorrow. I don't know how to clean this up, and just have a fit and walk out, make more of a mess. But no, we had an example a couple months ago, came in and was like, you know, enthusiastic, great guy. He could have done everything. It's just, he was sitting at his desk kind of waiting for like something. Right. And he had there's a whole list of projects, but he's just waiting. I don't know for what. He's just waiting for something or just, and it was kind of like in a different environment maybe, Yeah. If someone pulls him aside and holds his hand and says, hey, here, what are you working on? Okay, let's do this. And hey, this. But here it was more like, just kind of like, dude, you're going to have to figure, like, it's a, it, when I,
you're going to sit there for a while.
Like, it was basically, I think Jim was telling him, dude, you got to just fucking start doing shit.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, it was more just glances around the room like, what is this guy doing? Like, what? Why isn't he doing anything? And the other challenge is, you know, with these different things is like people put a lot of time and effort into something. And then because I'm not the best at communicating, maybe there's certain things, there's tons of things where I don't even know what's going on, or, and I wouldn't add any value trying to jump in. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. You guys got that done. Cool. And then there's certain things where I'm like, ah, that's just one part for whichever reason I want this way. I may or may not have ever conveyed that, right? So the hard time is when you go in a meeting with someone, you're like when I met with Nick from Basecamp the other day, it was like, we're talking about something, and they'd been working hard. I just kind of, but, I was thinking something different, right? And so it's, and then you see kind of like
the face.
Like the little, the sigh with like the deep breath, and like inside he's screaming like, you know, he's got two fucking double birding me and just like, fuck you. But like, externally, he's like, okay, yeah, okay, no problem, cool,
sweet.
So
slam his head on the steering wheel.
Yeah, but that's no different than anywhere. I think the only difference is then if you're working on everything, it makes sense. If you're working on one project, or you're, you know, employed by one company, because each company has its own payroll outside of like the handful at Faded or Lucha, whatever. Like the rest of it is different. You know, each company has its own payroll. And so they're, you know, supportive and curious about the other projects, but at times like more like, hey, I don't care that you're busy with this other thing. We need this thing focused on. So, but it works out good. I mean, everyone, I don't give any like daily objectives to everyone. I don't really like give direction. It's more everyone tells me what they're working on.
So you pretty much hire like mini entrepreneurs where they have to come in there and just go get it, figure it out.
It is like, yeah. I mean, I remember Jesse from Basecamp, we were talking about potentially franchising, right? Like, so Basecamp, for example, it's a fun time because we're looking at either taking an investor so we can expand corporate-owned units faster, working with a franchising company so we can tap into an existing, like, franchising infrastructure and open a bunch of units faster without the risk on our part. Opening units on our own, which would be slower than taking money from an investor, but we, you know, it'd be all under our control. Doing our own franchising, which is, you know, under Faded, we've basically set up everything where we could start franchising for Basecamp, or some combination of those things, right? And so there's a lot of different things going on, a lot of different like inbound inquiries, us asking people, like a lot going on there. In addition to just the day-to-day of like, hey, make sure that this month is better than last month and today's better than yesterday and keep growing. But when we were talking about franchising, we were meeting with one company and they were talking about like the profile of a person who might want to open a Basecamp gym somewhere. And Jesse was like, it's pretty much me, right? Like, I was a kickboxing instructor, used to be a fighter, and you showed me this workout in the warehouse and we're like, hey, you want to, I didn't have any experience, but you're like, hey, you want to manage the gym and you want to open this gym together and get it going? So he's like, that was exciting. It wasn't really like he was taking a job somewhere. It was like he was, you know, opening a gym and like figuring all the shit out on the fly. So I do think that's, you know, definitely the case. Hopefully there's potential for everyone. You know, I don't see myself as ever being like a roadblock for anyone. I don't have a position, so it's not like they could only get to this position and then they'd be like, oh, fuck, now we gotta wait for him to fucking die or something to take his spot. So hopefully, yeah, within each company, hopefully there's a lot of opportunity and people can see it as like, especially in a business where you're in essence like creating concepts and then trying to replicate them. There should be a lot of opportunity there. And sometimes it's hard for people. Like Nacheria, last week, we had a situation where it was just hard for them to wrap their heads around the fact that we have another concept Triple X Chicken, right? So we're looking for a location to open that. And we thought, let's do a test. So we did a test. And it went really well. Like the chicken, it was supposed to be lunch and dinner, and we didn't even get to dinner. Everything sold out during lunch, yeah. Right? So we're like, oh, wow, this is good proof of concept. Probably should have planned a little, probably should have had a little more ingredients available so we could have gotten to dinner. But it was a little struggle. It was kind of like this weird thing where they work at Nacheria. They don't work for faded brands. So it confused them a little bit. Like, what is Triple X Chicken? Like, I understand that it's your concept and you guys, we're working on this, but like, why? Like, what, I'm busy already. Like, I'm already busy during lunch with the Nacheria crowd. And now you want me to make chicken sandwiches on top of that. Like, okay, well, fine, as a test, that was okay, but I don't want to do this every day. Because I don't work at Triple X Chicken.
Yeah.
And even Jose was like, okay, but what if Nacheria added chicken sandwiches to the menu? Then you would still have to make the chicken sandwiches. Yeah, but that'd be for Nacheria. So it's a weird, sometimes it's a weird, and you can say all day, like, oh, that doesn't make any sense, but like, okay, it's kind of like...
It's like a gang.
Yeah.
Like a Nacheria gang.
Oh, it's kind of like, what am I... it all comes back to, what am I being judged on?
Yeah,
you told me I was being judged on how quickly I got tacos, nachos, burritos, salads out the door. And now you've thrown this curveball on me with the chicken sandwiches, which is different ingredient. I'm not... I don't make them every day. I don't know exactly what to do all the time. And now that might make my nachos go out slower. I'm like, I don't want to be judged on that. Or... maybe, and part of it's like, and I'll be busier and I don't want to be busier, So it was I try to always see everything from every perspective. But it's interesting. Every once in a while I have a situation where we told Jim, like, hey Jim, can you help Basecamp figure these things out? Like, go in there or don't even help them figure it out. Like, here's things they probably shouldn't, they don't need to worry about right now. So just go in and take care of these things. A lot of it to do with getting the gym kind of spruced up a little bit. But it's still, even though it's the same company, it's still a weird thing, right? Everyone's great and receptive, but to them, it's, you can understand why if you're in charge of Basecamp, like maintenance and upkeep or whatever, and all of a sudden Jim comes in. And so within this whole hierarchy, it's unclear like who, and he comes in, he goes, hey guys, don't even worry about it. I'm going to take care of that. And there was a little bit of like, no, like kind of like pushback on that. Like, no, we got it. Don't worry. I got it. I'm just trying to help you guys. You guys don't need to worry about this. This is a one-time thing. It's not going to be a recurring issue for you. You should just worry about, what you're doing. It's like, no, we got it. And so it was like, ultimately, I was like, huh, that's weird. What was the pushback for? Well, the pushback was, hey, we're being judged on Basecamp. And like, if Jim comes in, I'm sure Jim's going to do a good job of whatever it is he's going to do for us. But like, we'd rather just control it ourselves because like, he's not going to be judged on Basecamp. We're going to be judged on Basecamp, So it's kind of like, logically didn't totally make sense, but you can understand the thought process.
They want to own it.
So that's the challenge. It's like, it's not like everyone sees it as like, oh, dunk contest, Nacheria, Basecamp, whatever, it's all the same company. They see it as like, it's all the same, we all know each other, it's all the same kind of, but I don't, if we're not, it's not all quite the same.
So would you say not having exact roles or people kind of moving around will cause some sort of, like, who makes the final call of those situations?
I think depends how it's set up. So I think, like for dunk contest and Nacheria, for example, Jim's kind of he's always been the head of operations for those projects. Since they started, he was at Lucha and he's like charge of operations. And he's like, okay, so it'll make sense to them. Like, oh, here's Jim. He's helping this. He's responsible for this. Basecamp's different because Basecamp existed before Lucha, right? It was, and there's a team there. And so then it's more like, hey, we think we're doing everything fine. Why are you kind of trying to jump in? Like, what is... are we going to get absorbed? Are we all going to become intertwined? Like, what's going on here? Yeah. We're happy with the way we have it. And it's not like big deal stuff. It's not like people complaining and acting crazy. It's just more, I guess the point of my story was more like, it's not, there are challenges with like, for people to sometimes figure out like, how do I fit into this whole thing? And like, you know, sometimes you're even moving money around, right? You're saying, hey, you know what? We're going to, you guys are having a good month. We need to take some money out of that and put it into this project. And it's kind of like, wait, what? No, we want to keep that for a rainy day. Well, you might want to keep that for a rainy day, but you don't get, you know, we need it over here.
There's right a rainy now. Day happening over yeah. here.
It's fucking raining pouring outside. Dennis is drinking so much fucking coffee during the podcast that it's like out of control.
It really is it's an unconventional way of thinking in a sense that most people are used to hierarchies yeah. within, you know, companies of this size. So in most other places, 125 employees or something like that.
Yeah.
150 total.
150 total. They respond to one person in one way or another, or they have bosses on. And because these companies are split up this way, it's kind of tough for people to, it's easier for someone like myself because I work for everyone.
Yeah.
But if you're working specifically for the restaurant, and then all of a sudden there's like, you know, a shortage of employees at dunk contests and you need to send them over, they're like, whoa, I didn't, you know, that's not part of my original job description.
Yeah.
And so people can be a little like,
but it could be an opening for opportunity.
But it could be an opportunity for something. So if you have to look at it that way, as opposed to thinking like, oh, now you're making me do something else for another company, you know, either, you know, pay me more money or like, or this is a one-time thing because I'm never, and that's not necessarily the type of employee that would fit in well in a company like Faded, I think.
Yeah, and then at the same time, you got to, you know, what we try to do is like, try to get across like, and show people examples of like how you, there's a ton of opportunity, I think, if you just take the initiative, but also, you know, be aware of the fact that like everyone doesn't have to think that way, right? There, people can be perfectly successful working here, just focusing on one project. And when someone says, hey, will you help out with this? No, I'm really focused on what I'm doing. So try not to be like, you don't want to have that kind of like, at Zappos for a while, there was the, you know, other than like the PR culture or the culture that got all the PR, there's downsides to it, right? So if you're saying, hey, we have happy hour every day, or say we have happy hour twice a week, and it's optional, but everyone here is like, likes happy hour, and it's a big cultural thing, and then we'd have situations where people were like, hey, like, I got a family, like, I can't go to happy hour, like, on Wednesday night, and Monday night, and Thursday night, like, and it was like, no, but our, this was after, this wasn't when I was there, but after I left, it was more like, you'd hear a lot of stories, people like, no, hey, that's our culture. We work together, we play together. I know, but like, that was great 5 years ago, but I can't do that now. Well, you need to figure out if you're committed to our culture.
So
you had people that were kind of like, you know, it wasn't seen as cool that they had a family they had to go home to instead of getting wasted at happy hour. It was seen as like kind of a problem. Like, hey, you're not part of the culture anymore. Like, you might have a family, but we have a work life, you know, and it was always, we have a work life. And it's like, what? As a rational person, you're like, what do you fucking mean a work life balance? Try to go home to my family. You might be trying to go home to your family, but we want you to come here and bond with your coworkers. It's like, so you don't want to be that. Like, I always cringed at that when I'd hear those stories and be like, dude, you don't want to be that, right? And you don't want to be a place where everyone's saying this place is famous for having the world's greatest culture, except if you want to go home to your family after working for 10 hours instead of coming to happy hour, you're not going to last here, because that's not right, right? So it's the same thing where you want to say like, hey, here's a bunch of opportunity, but totally aware of why you would feel threatened by someone who doesn't technically work for your company coming in to do this, or you just want to focus on this because you don't want to be here your whole life. You want to advance within a fitness company, and you see it as like, if you can't advance beyond that, that's where your passion is, then you'd go join another fitness company. So going and helping out in a restaurant doesn't really do you any good. That should be perfectly fine, unless you get hired at Faded Lucha, where you're expected to help out with everything. But if you're hired by one of the individual companies, then that's fine.
So what's the end game for Faded? Like, how do you see it?
The end game.
Yeah. What do you? You want to take over the world? You want to?
Dennis, is this podcast over? Are you guys done?
Let's wrap this shit up, please.
We got an egg timer that just ran out. I don't know. I don't think there is an end game because there's no end game for Faded, right? Because Faded, in theory, will just keep giving birth to new ideas, new companies, right? So hopefully, and that's the good and the bad. So a company within Faded, like, you know, Basecamp, not sure, whatever it is, could get an outside investor, right? It might say, hey, you know what? This company, the best thing for it right now is to get an outside investor to grow. Best thing for the brand, or the best thing for the employees, or the best thing for, you know, me or whatever, is to get someone else in here and kind of, and then that, you know, that's a conversation in and of itself, right? Because an outside investor is going to be like, wait, hold on a second. Now, I'm not positioned as like, if I was positioning myself as like, oh, I'm running this by myself, then that wouldn't make sense because I have all these other things. But so we try to set everything up where it's like, hey, I'm not the daily operator, like making every decision.
Yeah.
So the fact that I'm focusing on multiple things doesn't affect any one thing in theory. But that would just happen at that company, right? So maybe that company kind of gets pulled out of, it just gets separated and it's like, it's already its own entity. So now that entity has another shareholder and it would kind of be a little farther removed because the new investors or the new aren't going to be okay with the fact that the staff of that entity are spending X percent of their time working on projects that they don't have a stake in.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not going to have a stake in the overall company. They're going to have a stake in Basecamp, for example. So they're not going to want the Basecamp manager to be spending, you know, half his day helping train the Notcheria manager. Yeah. So it's really like each of the things hopefully can grow into its own self-sustaining company. That's like some companies, they're built to just be one, right? Like, hey, Burlingame needs X. Let's try to build one. Okay. And that's cool. That's great. We built this company, or like when we did the soccer team, built a soccer team for the community. That's great. We don't need to open 20 soccer teams. And some things is like, oh, this worked well in Burlingame. Let's start growing in other places. And so they either just become a thing, which is just self-sustaining, or they become a thing that grows. And as they grow, it's either, you know, I or the cash flow funds their expansion, or no, they need an outside investor to get to where they're supposed to be. But that just happens each individually.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if one went off to college, then another one would be born. So the, you know, I can't see a scenario where the overall company is like, I mean, who's going to want like this completely random group of things all
you
at once?
You want this portfolio of different projects.
Wait, what you guys are doing? What with speed quarters?
Is there any big project that you have in the back of your head, that, like ultimate huge project that you want to do?
No, I mean, like, so on the food stuff, it's kind of become interesting. I mean, Notcheria has been super frustrating for a year and a half, and then exciting for like the last year. So that's got me thinking, okay, well, what other, like, it was a big learning experience. So now that we've learned what we've learned, are there other food or beverage concepts that we could take what we've learned and apply them to a new brand or a new thing? And then because those will all be connected by food, could that be, you know, ultimately could those could be combined into one entity, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, Yum Brands has what? Taco Bell, and you know Taco Bell well, Dennis. Taco Bell. God, their stock went up after your birthday.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut, I think. I don't know if pizza, but, you know, that kind of thing. Like, could we, and are there situations where if we expanded, we could say, hey, we'll take a bigger space and we'll put these three concepts next to each other? That would be an area where I would see, like, or the High Stakes League, right? It was going to be soccer. And then we're like, well, what else could we do with kind of like a pay to enter and the winner takes all kind of thing? And then we had speed quarters going too. So we're like, okay, speed quarters, one component of it will be the NHSL, the High Stakes League within there. We'll also have tournaments. We just got back from, we had an important meeting yesterday, right? With the
Federación Internacional.
The speed quarters.
The speed quarters.
Yeah.
They approved.
Yeah. That was an international meeting we had. So speed quarters is going worldwide.
Can't stop, won't stop.
I want to be the DJ for the speed quarters.
And maybe from speed quarters there's something where there's a bigger thing at hand of like, you know, there's other games that once we had the infrastructure in place and the players and the tournaments down and the leagues that we could say, okay, now let's introduce other concepts under that umbrella. So in a perfect world, we're trying to say, okay, instead of every single thing having to be just random, what are things where we could take learnings from one thing and just keep opening more?
Yeah.
We talked about it last time, right? So you'll be, and then it's like, you know, what are we going to be judged on? So learning that and trying to figure out, like, you know, if it's, I don't know, instead of maybe it's better instead of opening 20 Nacherias, maybe it's better to open a Nacheria, start franchising Nacheria, open another concept, start franchising that, and then maybe the same franchising team can sell all of them. I don't know.
Speed quarter is going to be huge. It is. Worldwide.
I can't wait. It's going to be good.
Crooks and Goons. I mean, what do you, like, you going to split that up into two divisions, or are you just going to
just crooks keep it and one goons. Thing. The crooks team.
And the crooks team and the goons team.
I think I gotta start practicing after the Dennis Palooza.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on us to yeah. Actually, no pressure on us because Julio and I were willing to admit on the podcast that we went over 30 the other day. Combined. Yeah. Or maybe each.
Over 60, over 30, I don't think it matters. Yeah. We were just over. It was pretty bad.
Over something.
So one of the reasons kind of wanted to go over all this was just get a question quite a bit. What the heck is Faded Brands and how does it all tie together and how does it all work? And so, you know, to summarize, Faded Brands is a LLC that owns the LLCs beneath it. There's some people that work at the Faded or level, and then there's some people that work. They're employed by each company. Each company has its own payroll, its own systems and all that. You know, it's not, everyone's not seeing everything and sharing everything. And then hopefully now that that's kind of understood and anyone that listens to this, hopefully in the future we could start, instead of always just going backwards, we could start talking more about like current learnings, right? Even just talking about, I realized there's a lot of stuff we learned last week. And there's a lot of random shit going on and a lot of different different things. Some really good, some not that good, right? Some things, oh, that's not working. Oh, that's working really well. That's working well enough that outside people are interested in investing. Do we want outside people to invest? What are the pros and cons there? Why are we focusing on something which doesn't even exist when we have this thing that's like going along and needs a little more? We should probably put all our focus on that. Like, there's a lot of daily stuff that I think will be interesting, at least to ourselves.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if all else fails, we'll just sit here and test each other on acronyms and test each other on acronyms all day.
Make fun of my enunciation.
And we haven't even touched on the Startup Addict.
Oh, I know.
I mean, where does that fall into this thing?
I know. That's
do we need a startup?
Top 20 podcast business, man.
Do we need a Startup Addict LLC? Stick it in here somewhere?
Why not?
On that note, if you're looking to, if you like what you hear, you should email Jim at Lucha Ventures.
Let's give out his email again.
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Yeah. If you've got any questions, email Jim at luchaventures.com.
Any questions?
I think before we started, Jim was pretty sure he was going to be on the podcast each time, and then he just didn't come in the room the first day.
He started traveling, and then he would miss those recording days, and then he's like, no, screw it.
He probably doesn't even listen anymore.
Jim, if you're out there.
Hi.
Anyone that listens to this, email Jim at luchaventures.com and ask him if he even listens to the podcast.
Quiz him on it. Yeah. See if he responds.
Because he's sure as hell not going to hear what we're saying right now.
No.
So anyways, thanks for listening. Hopefully that was at least somewhat interesting. If not, it was maybe some foundation for make some things make sense in the future.
And if you want to follow us, we have a few options here. We have Instagram at the Startup Addict, Twitter Startup _ Addict, YouTube. You have to unfortunately search for us because not enough people are clicking and giving us our own URL, and iTunes. So see if you can become addicted to this podcast, then help us out.
Oh, we didn't talk about the delivery business we talked about earlier today. Dennis and I went to Home Depot.
Oh yeah,
and it's, we took a truck because we thought we were going to come out with so much stuff, and then we came out with nothing. So we came out with Chipotle,
three tacos. So definitely not on the.
On the way out, Dennis actually said, "Should we just buy something so at least we bought something while we're here?"
Just waste a bunch of fuel.
Come back. Home Depot.
So that definitely, you know, I thought well, clearly we should start a pickup and delivery business.
Yeah, they just order, let's say, a cup of coffee and then never
nothing
see it
happens,
again.
Nothing happens. Yeah. Hey, Crooks and Goons Delivery. Yeah.
Crooks
perfect.
And Goons Delivery. We just take your money.
We just take the money.
It'll leave.
So, all right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Goodbye.